So let's take a look on Daf Lamed Omed Aleph. We began this at the end of last week. We were talking about the third group in the Mishnah, which are the Chayvei Krisus.
Yeah.
And the Mishnah establishes that you pay Knas even in the case of Chayvei Krisus. So the Gemara says that this is Lafuki Midrav Nechunya Ben Akana. The Sani Rab Nechunya Ben Akana Oya Ose Es Yom HaKippurim Kishavas L'Tashlumin Ma Shavas Mischai B'Nafsho U'Potum Inatashlumin Af Yom HaKippurim Mischai B'Nafsho U'Potum Inatashlumin. So it means according to Rab Nechunya Ben Akana, you can't be Chayev Tashlume Mamon at the same time that you Chayev Kares, and that's going to be the case where you destroy someone's Gadish on Yom HaKippurim and you chayev Kares, so you don't have to pay for his Gadish. And so to here, the, let's say, Baal Alachoso, etc., would not be chayev Knas, because in that beer itself he incurs a chayev Kares. And that's against our Mishnah that establishes that Baal Alachoso and all the other chayev Krisus pays Knas. So at this point, the Gemara asks, "My time of the Rab Nechunya Ben Akana." So we're going to see here two possible sources for Rab Nechunya Ben Akana. One is Abaye, the other is Rava. Abaye is going to derive it from the parasha in Mishpatim, Mishpos Chaf Aleph, the parasha of Asan. And Rava is going to derive it from the parasha of Molech, which is the parasha in Vayikra Perek Chaf. So let's start with Abaye, and then the Gemara is going to ask, after presenting Abaye, what is Rava's opinion and what is the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. So that's what we want to study now. If we have time, depending on the clock, we still have a chov to pay up back on Daf Chaf Tes. And that's the question of Ketana Yisoma in the case of Mefuta, whether or not she has Mechila on the Knas. She doesn't have Mechila on the Knas. So we'll see if we have time to go back to that. But for today, since we began Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, I figured let's make some more progress on that. My time at the Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, Omra Abaye. So Imamish now in the middle of Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. Nemar ason bidei Adam, v'nemar ason bidei Shamayim. So the Torah says ason bidei Adam in the case of an Isha Muberes, and Reuven hits this woman, and she loses her vlad. And the question is, does Reuven have to pay dmei vlados to the husband of this woman? And the Torah says v'lo yeh ason, that he'll have to pay dmei vlados because she survived the blow. The implication is, had she died, and he would therefore be chayev as a rotzeach, he would not pay for the damages, for the dmei vlados. And that's the principle of kimlei b'derab minei. Now, what does this word ason mean? When the Torah says that if there's no ason, he pays. If there would be an ason, he would not pay. What kind of ason is included under this term, ason? Would it even be an ason bidei shamayim? So Abai says that here's where Rav Nechunya Ben Akana stretched his arm out to a parsha at the end of Sefer Breishis, and that's in Breishis Perek Mem Beis. Let's read the pasuk out loud. There too the word ason appears, and we want to know whether ason refers to deshamayim. And you remember that Yehuda was trying to press his father Yaakov to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim because the viceroy of Mitzrayim requested required that they bring down Binyamin. And Vayomer, this was Yaakov's response, Lo yered b'ni machem ki achiv meis, so Rav Nechunya Ben Akana has this word ason in the parasha of Binyamin, of Yaakov and Binyamin. Ma ason ha'omer bidei Adam potem in ha'tashlumen, af ason ha'omer bidei Shemayim potem in ha'tashlumen. When Yaakov was concerned about pen yikra'enu ason, who call ason baderech, he was concerned with an ason bidei Shemayim. Or as well, including an ason bidei Shemayim, meaning not only an ason bidei Adam, that certainly requires care and concern, but even an ason bidei Shemayim he was worried about. That somehow once Binyamin would leave the environment and the protection of his home, he would be exposed to an ason bidei Shemayim. Now, if the word ason includes not just bidei Adam, but also bidei Shemayim, then when we plug this back into the ason in the parasha of Kimlei b'derabi minei in Mishpatim, in Kinogfu Ishahara, then we would say Veloi ason on Oshianesh. If there's no ason, which includes even an ason bidei Shemayim, then he'll be punished. But if there'll be an ason, including an ason bidei Shemayim, then lo yeyanesh, then he's potter. It means every ason, including even an ason bidei Shemayim, would be enough to undermine the onosh yeyanesh, which in this context means tashlumei momon dmei vlodos. So that even a kares, which is an ason bidei Shemayim, would have the ability, would be considered ason lo yeyanesh, right? Im yeh ason lo yeyanesh, and it would knock off the chiyuv tashlumei mamon. And hence, if we apply that to the case of Yom Kippur, Rav Nachunya derives the conclusion that if he burns down his friend's haystack on Yom Kippur, he doesn't pay damages because that's also an ason, where the Torah says lo yeyanesh. Maskif lo Rav Adavar Ava Mimai dechika mazir lehu Yaakov lebonei. When Yaakov warns his children about taking down Binyamin to Mitzrayim and it might create an ason, it might end up in an ason, how do you know that Yaakov Avinu's intention was al tzinin upachin dibidei shamayim ninhu? So now tzinin upachin, which means cold and hot, right, that becomes the paradigm of bidei shamayim. Right, all of a sudden there's a cold wind, a freezing wind that could cause calamities, or all of a sudden there's a heat wave, a tremendous heat wave. People die from heat waves. And now, how do you know that that's what Yaakov Avinu is concerned? Dilma, maybe he's concerned with something that is not a catastrophe that's above human control, that comes from Shamayim as part of a divine plan, like a tsunami of some sort. Dilmal Arye Vaganvi Dibde Odom Ninhu. That if you're not careful about going, you know, if you're not careful about avoiding a certain place where there'll be wild animals, then you're exposing yourself to a danger of wild animals, or ganovim, you know, ganovim will approach you. That's called bidei adam. Maybe Yaakov Avinu is not worried about bidei shamayim, because if it's bidei shamayim, then it's bidei shamayim. I mean, there's nothing, you know, whether you're in the confines of and the protection of your home, or you're outside in the field in the derech, you know. In any event, you're subject to the gzeira of shamayim. That's not what Yaakov was concerned about. Yaakov was concerned about how much care you would take to avoid dangerous places, which is called bidei adam. We can expect man to be very careful, and certainly in the case of a young man like Binyamin, in terms of the older brothers taking care of him, that they should go out of their way to take care of Binyamin. In fact, at the end of the day, Yaakov agrees to send down Binyamin because of Yehuda's claim, you know, his declaration, miyodai tivakshenu, anochi arvenu miyodai tivakshenu, meaning I'm willing to take on arvus. If there's a ganov, I'll put my life on the danger face this ganov for the protection of my son Binyamin. If there's a lion, I'll go into the lion's den and I'll protect Binyamin. So only when the achim, in this case Yehuda, you know, he was carrying the baton, when he would convince convince Yaakov that this, he doesn't have to worry about an ason bidei adam, because an ason bidei adam can be avoided if someone has arvus and he's willing to go all out to protect someone from an ason bidei adam. That's what convinced Yaakov and calmed him down, and he agreed at the end to send Binyamin. But Yaakov's concern from the get-go was not about an ason bidei shamayim. Who says that he's worried about an ason bidei shamayim? Maybe he's not worried about an ason bidei shamayim because that's bidei shamayim, and that's not something that we have to live with a constant fear that we can't move, you know, because maybe an ason bidei shamayim would take place. So the Gemara rejects Rav Ada bar Ava in defending Abaye. Otu Yaakov aho azar, vaho lo azar. Yaakov akol mili azar. When Yaakov says v'karo ason, he's not concerned simply or only about Aryeh and Ganovim, as if to say he's not concerned about Kar v'chom, because even in the case of Kar v'chom, which is a sakana as a result of Shamayim, of divine intervention, if you will, even so, when you leave the confines of a certain area, you know, the insular protection of the home, and you expose yourself to Kar v'chom, that's also to some extent a concern that crosses the mind of Yaakov. He has to worry about ason even as far as bidei shamayim, and that would justify Abai's derivation for Rav Nechunya ben Akana that the word ason includes bidei shamayim. So the Gemara vacillates back and forth about whether Yaakov Avinu is concerned about an ason bidei shamayim. Initially, Rav Ada bar Ava thinks that maybe Yaakov Avinu is not concerned about that. He's only concerned about Aryeh v'Ganovim, which are not bidei shamayim. But at the end of the day, it seems that Yaakov Avinu, in the Maskonas HaSugya, the way the Gemara understands and defends Abaye, would be concerned even about an ason bidei shamayim. And it's not like the Havamina of the Gemara. The Havamina was that Yehuda was Makabal Arvus. Well, if that's what calmed down Yaakov, it must be that the whole concern was about Bidei Adam. I mean, Yehuda can't take Arvus on for an Asa Bidei Shamayim. So apparently Yaakov Avinu wasn't concerned about them. Because again, it seems that Yehuda calmed down Yaakov. So if we figure out what Yehuda was saying, then retroactively you could understand what Yaakov's concern was about, because Yehuda was able to calm Yaakov down. If Yaakov was concerned about an ason bidei shamayim, the Gemara thinks, and that's Rav Ada bar Ava, then Yehuda could not possibly have calmed down Yaakov, because it's outside the purview of Yehuda's achrayus to take upon himself an arvus for something that's not biyado. You know, well, what is he going to do? There's a heat wave, you know, something sweeps us off our feet and takes us away. I mean, well, what's Yehuda going to do about that? There are forces in nature that go beyond Yehuda. The only thing that Yehuda could have calmed Yaakov about was about Aryeh v'Ganove, which is the sakana that's a result of Bidei Adam. So Yehuda could say, Anochi Arvenu, I'll take Arvus to make sure that such an ason doesn't take place. That was the logic of Rav Ada bar Ava, and therefore he argued there's no proof, no indication that the word ason includes bidei shamayim. The Gemara rejects Rav Ada in order to defend Abaye, and the Gemara thinks that Yaakov Avinu has a general concern. And even though you might say that shluchei mitzvah ain't nizok, and in this case they were going to get sustenance for the family, but no, Yaakov Avinu says that if you're going to a place that's more, that's it's more shchiach hezekah, right? Let's say, for example, if you're protected by the four walls of your house, I don't know, with or without air conditioning or heating, I don't know, but the walls of your house can give you some protection, some element of protection against the tzinin upachin, against kar v'chom. So that, you know, when you go out on a derech, that's already a makom the shchichi azeka. You know, I think I mentioned to you once that my father was named after his uncle. His uncle went out to on his way to Tomchei Tmim in Lubavitch, and he never showed up. And 6 months later, they found him frozen to a tree. And you know, all of a sudden, the weather changed immediately, and there was no chance for him to get back. He died of, you know. So in that case, it's more shkiach hazeka. Once you leave and you go out in the road, you know, how are you going to turn back? You know, they didn't have today, you know, all the weather forecasts that we have the back in the day we have today. They didn't have you know, ability to quickly find shelter. You know, you were really exposed to the elements, and that's called tzidin upachin. So if Hashem decides that they're going to be tzinu pachin and it's shkicha, that's already called shkicha zeka. So it could be that although Yaakov Avinu would have been calmed down by the principle of shluchei mitzvah edim nizakin, and that certainly lowers the possibility of an ason bidei shamayim, but nevertheless, if it might be shkicha zeka out there in the derech, then Yaakov Avinu doesn't want to expose Binyamin to a place that shkicha hazeka, despite the fact that he's on his way to do a mitzvah, you know, to bring back food and sustenance for the brothers and for Beis Yaakov. Now again, if the Gemara's maskana is that Yaakov Avinu is concerned about a son, even bidei shamayim, you were not exactly sure what Yehuda's approach was. How does he diplomatically succeed in achieving a calm? You know, through his arvus, he calms down Yaakov Avinu. But what about tzinin upachin? I can only say the following: that at least what Binyamin was able to do was he was able to cover the cases of ason bidei adam, and that severely, you know, limits or whittles down the statistical probability of chas v'shalom catastrophe. And even though, you know, the arvus of Yehuda could not cover that 10% chance that there'll be a heat wave or a cold, a freezing cold, but nevertheless, shluchei mitzvah nizakim. All right, the shlicha zeka. Certainly, there is an element of danger. But if you weigh that against the fact that we're in such a bad situation, we don't have any provisions, we don't have any supplies, then let's enter up into a situation of a 10% chance of an ason rather than expose ourselves to a 90% chance of ason. So that Yehuda calms down his father at least as far as the danger of bidei adam, of ganvei v'aryeh, and now we're left with the danger of ason bidei shamayim. On that count, Yaakov Avinu was willing to drop the ball, you know, drop his defense. He was saying, okay, we're not going to say that neurotic fear that we have of a makom shkicha zekat nederach of tzinu pachin, that therefore we're not going to send Binyamin down. There's too much at stake here. In fact, Yehuda came forward twice. The first time he came with this idea that we should go down, Yaakov rejected this idea. The pasuk indicates that only later, when the situation became absolutely dire, that's when Yehuda was successful. My Rebbe used to always say that's indicative of Malchus. You know, Melech knows when he has to send out his citizens as military soldiers out in the field, expose them to the military dangers. When he realizes that it's absolutely critical, that's the godliness of a leader, of a Melech. He feels Yehuda's Malchus. Yehuda knows at what point he can come forward and convince his father that we're in very bad straits. And if you're worried about Ason, Yehuda says, Arvenu, I'll take care of it. Again, we have to assume in the light of this Gemara that Yehuda could not possibly take Arvus for every scenario that might come in the world of Kar V'chom, which is Bidei Shamayim, but at least he can severely, through his commitment, he can severely cut down the probability of Ason, and in light of the crisis situation that they're facing, he's able to achieve Yaakov Avinu's consent.
Since Yehuda says "V'chatati l'cha kol hayamim" at the end of the pasuk, that indicates that he would have been chote. Obviously, he cannot take responsibility for something that is bidei shamayim and say that he's the chote. implies that it's an
right. And only some element of negligence where he could have gone even further in protection of Binyamin. He didn't go that extra mile. He can't. He can't call himself a chote for a tsunami. You know, that's not something that he can control. Right. But nevertheless, I think Yaakov Avinu, you know, conceded at this point and consented because he realized that when you start juggling the statistics, it's a better idea to go for it than to stay in a passive state when there's no food in the in the closets. The closets are empty.
You know for sure what's going to happen.
Right. So now the Gemara goes into an analysis here of the words of Rav Ada Bar Ava in classifying two types of catastrophes, one bidei shamayim and one bidei adam. He's got sinin upachin as the paradigm of bidei shamayim, and he's got ganve and aryeh as the paradigm of bidei adam. Yeah. So Gemara's not happy with that. In fact, the Gemara tzidin upachin in bidei shamayim ninu vasanya. We have a brisa kol bidei shamayim chutz mitzidin upachin. Shenemar a pasuk in Mishlei tzidin pachin biderech ike shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. So from the fact that the wisest of all men says that shomer nafsho yirchak mehem, obviously he could avoid tzidin upachin, and that's explicit in the pasuk here that tzidin upachin is shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. Now you're telling me it's bidei shamayim, then there's no way that you can protect yourself against it. What do you mean distance yourself and be careful about tzidin upachin? Well, you just told me, Rav Ada Bar Ava, that tzidin upachin is totally bidei shamayim. If it's part of the Xavier's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what are you going to do? And furthermore, the Gemara says, I'm not happy about Aryeh Veganve. You classify Aryeh Veganve as Bidei Adam Ninu. I'm going to prove to you that Ganve and Aryeh is Bidei Shamayim, which we'll get to in just a second. First, let's focus for a moment on Sinin Upachin. So the statement here of this brisa is that Akol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mitzinin Upachin. And the implication you get from this brisa, and the way the Gemara derives from this brisa, is that Tzinin Upachin is Bidei Adam. It's not Bidei Shamayim. So what I'd like to do is take a look at Tosfos, Dibur HaMaskil HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mitzinin Upachin. And Tosfos has a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that seems to indicate that it's impossible to maintain that a kol bidei shamayim. There are many situations in which man is responsible for bringing upon himself a catastrophe. Well, Amrinan, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Li olam al yamod adam b'makom sakana. Tosfos doesn't quote a Gemara in Brachos, but the Gemara in Brachos says that you should not walk below, underneath a kir natui. Tosfos hints at it. He doesn't quote the Gemara explicitly, but basically we're talking about situations of a makom sakana. So it means that by avoiding these places, you will have control over your destiny, so to speak. You will avoid peronios, catastrophe. Or in the case of kir natui, the Gemara says also lavar tahto. So Tosfos says we see clearly that if a person is not careful about protecting himself, then it's as if he brought a catastrophe onto himself. That it's totally bo, not totally bidei shamayim. And here the Gemara says hakol bidei shamayim. The only exceptions are tzinin upachin. Well, that's not really true. There are a lot of things that are bidei adam. Many times, man is considered responsible for bringing upon himself a mishap because he wasn't careful enough. So you see that yochali nozek, a person can be destroyed even without a gzera, even without shamayim. And here the Gemara says hakol bidei shamayim, as if to say, with the exception of tzinin upachin, where there's an element of negligence, you expose yourself to tzinin upachin. But all, the rest of the gamut of human experience is all bidei shamayim. It's all peronios that comes not because of him, but because of the gzera shamayim. Well, that's not true. You see clearly that there are many things that are not within the realm of Gzeira Shamayim. and rather man is guilty because of his own negligence. So Tosfos says the following. He says, Hasam min de min apshia yachol lishmar atzma. What the Gemara means is the following, that there's one realm of human destiny that's in the hands of man, meaning to some extent man can be responsible for his own well-being, and that means that he can avoid dangerous areas, and if he doesn't do so, then that pshia, that negligence, is going to be responsible for his death or whatever mishap, unfortunately, he experiences. The Hakol Bidei Shamayim is, according to Tosfos, a reference to that area of human behavior where no matter how much effort, no matter what to what extent he tries to protect himself with all the security measures possible, it's still to no avail, because that already belongs to Gzeiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Bidei Shamayim in a total sense. So the Tosfos' answer is that there are really two different circles, so to speak, of human experience. There's one circle where catastrophe is a result of human action or lack of action. That's called minapshia. And if he could have protected himself, if instead he went through this underneath this kir natui and it fell over his head, then he'll suffer the consequences. Or any time he exposes himself to sakana, he's holding the reins. He's in control of himself. Man is in control of his destiny. But there's one area beyond human control. Beyond, no matter what you do, there's no way you could have protected yourself of this mishap. You know, lightning struck and you got hit. That's already bidei shamayim. So when it means hakol bidei shamayim, what it means is all areas where man was not in control and there was no way he could have protected himself, he was not in any way negligent or guilty of exposing himself, all that comes under Bidei Shamayim. Now Tosfos wants to prove, he has a proof, that there is an area of human behavior that's totally dependent upon himself, that he's holding on to the reins. And what is Tosfos' proof? Man has the ability to commit suicide, and if he does so, it's totally because he took his life on his own. This is not Bidei Shamayim. So that is the area of human behavior where man is in control. He didn't have to take his life. If he took his life, that's his fault. That you can't blame Shamayim for that. Aval, but here in our Gemara that says Hakol Bidei Shamayim, what is it referring to? Kishem Mevim Olav Min Hashamayim V'Ones V'Efshar Lo Lishmar. In those areas where no matter how much protection he gives, he can lock himself up inside a fortress, but nevertheless, if lightning strikes, it's going to destroy that fortress. He's going to die, and that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that I have a proof from this brisa that Sinan Upachin is actually Bidei Adam, not the way Rav Adav Arava presented it, that Sinan Upachin is Bidei Shamayim. The brisa says that I'll give you one area that's Bidei Adam, and that's Sinan Upachin. Uli Olam says Tosfos Lo Yavo Ola Biones. It's not pshat that Sinan Upachin is something that sweeps him away the way we said it before. It is always in Rotza Lizar. If he would have been more careful, he never would have had this problem of Sinan Upachin. Like my parents used to say to me as a kid, don't go barefoot on a cold ground.
He wouldn't have suffered from them. He couldn't have prevented them, but he didn't have to suffer from them. Because he would be able to be shomer.
In other words, tzidir pachin is not something beyond human control. Your response, you're negligent when you suffer from tzidir pachin.
When you suffer from them, the consequences of them, you can't avoid them happening. They happen. They're not in your control. But if you are properly prepared for them, you will not suffer from them.
All right, maybe. I didn't understand Tosis that way, but you know, you could say it that way. I understood that tzidir pachin is something that's totally in your control, meaning you didn't have to expose yourself to tzidir pachin. You didn't have to walk barefoot on a cold floor. The main thing is that Tosis wants to prove from the Gemara and Shabbos that there are areas that are in your control, and you brought upon yourself catastrophe, and therefore you exposed yourself to danger. You walked under Kiryat Natui, and Tosis' proof is the Avadai biyado lahamis es atzmo. He could commit suicide. That's going to be the most dramatic proof that man is holding the reins, and that it's not Hakol Bidei Shamayim. Hakol Bidei Shamayim is only when you get to a point of lo yavo olav. That what's Bidei Shamayim is something that's Yavo Olav Bionis, meaning that he doesn't have any possibility of protecting. But I would say, again, I'm not promising that this is the case, but I would say if you took an investigation, you would probably find that 90% of human activity is bidei adam, is, you know, man is guilty for exposing himself to danger. But in any event, whether it's 90% or 20%, there's certainly a large area of human experience that is beyond bidei shamayim, that's totally in your control, and that is and the catastrophe is a result of your responsibility or lack of, you know, you didn't live up to your responsibility, you were negligent, you exposed yourself to danger. Now here we have an insight of the Chassam Sofer. So this you'll see on page Kuf Chaf Beis, which you photocopied.
Yeah.
Now there are two or three paragraphs that we want to see over here. Let's switch around the order for a moment, because we got heavy into Tosfos. And we'll say the following. In Kuf Chaf, you see that, it's, I guess you'd say, the fourth paragraph or the third paragraph on the page. He says the following. Lule Divrehem Yesh Lomar, and you're going to see how he builds himself on the Ramban here. Lule Divrehem, if not for Tosfos, Yesh Lomar, the Ein Chilut Bein Lahomis Atzmo Levein Lahomis Acherim. In other words, let's view man as an existing being created by God. Even in terms of his relationship to himself, he is still a being that was created by God. And therefore God owes it to every human being, including to himself, to protect him if he doesn't deserve to die. Therefore, if a person commits suicide, then he's taking a life which has to be protected by God. And it's no different than taking someone else's life. So whether you murder someone else or you murder yourself, in both cases, that's an act of murder. And therefore, this act could not possibly be implemented or successfully achieved, Ella Imken, please let's underline these words, Nigzar al ploni lihareg. Unless there was a gzera in Shamayim that so and so should die, and the same thing has to apply in the case of suicide. It would be impossible to commit suicide, Elim Kain, Migzar Olaf Shehu Yamos. Because again, we're equating now his own life with someone else's life. And the ability to take someone's life, or for that matter, one's own life, is limited. It's contingent on the fact that there was a gzera that so and so should die. If ain biyod lahamis esatzva, he couldn't even kill himself. Im lo shenigzar olav sheyharek. So now you can ask the following question: that it's not the way we saw it in Tosfos. I mean, this is lule divrei Tosfos, but in Tosfos we said that there's a whole area of human experience where man has freedom, and he has to be careful. And if he violates his responsibility, then he'll bring catastrophe upon himself. And that's already outside of the purview of Hakol Bidei Shamayim. So again, let's reemphasize. And again, I begin to think that this is very important in terms of our whole Hashkafas Hayadus. There are really two radically different approaches. Tosis is taking the human experience. He's drawing two circles, and he's saying that there's one old circle that's outside of Bidei Shamayim. When is it Bidei Shamayim? That's only when, no matter what he does, there's always going to be anus, and he has no availability of protection. There's no wherewithal of protecting himself. That's called Bidei Shamayim. But in most cases, again, I'm adding the word most, but it's certainly in a whole chunk of human experience, there's no way. I'm sorry. You're in the driver's seat. You're holding on to the reins. You could do what you have to do in order to protect yourself. And that's what the Gemara means, that you should never expose yourself to danger. And the Gemara in Brachos that says that you shouldn't walk under a kir natui. And certainly, says Tos, I could prove to you that there's an area that is outside the perimeters of Hakol Bidei Shamayim, and that's killing yourself. Let's put Tosis now on the side. Lulei Divrayim, and we'll see what the Ramban has to say about this. One could argue that no, every area of human experience is Bidei Shamayim. There's nothing that's outside of Bidei Shamayim. However, that doesn't justify your killing someone, or for that matter, killing yourself, or exposing yourself to danger, because that the Torah prohibits. The Torah prohibits doing anything that could bring about catastrophe, or leaving out something that could protect you against catastrophe. That's the Iser of the Torah. It doesn't mean that it's not Bidei Shamayim. Everything is Bidei Shamayim. Tosis wants to say that what the Gemara is objecting here is, how can you tell me Hakol Bidei Shamayim? Fectosis, that's not true. There's many areas that are not Bidei Shamayim, and it's due to your Pshia, and you're the one who brought yourself into catastrophe. So he's saying now, and we'll soon see how he based himself on the Ramban, then, even those areas where you were negligent in your protection, that's also Bidei Shamayim, because Lule, if not for the Gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would not be able to bring catastrophe upon yourself and upon others. Where does he find the source for this? And again, this is radically different than Tosfos. He finds it in the Ramban. The Ramban has a kasha. How could we punish the evildoers? Whatever they did, they were really just shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God had decreed it, and they were just carrying out God's shlichus. How do we bring about a punishment on the Dalet Malchus? Right, v'gamis agoyah sheyavodu don anochi. If it's part of a divine plan, it was already revealed to Avraham Avinu, the bris bein of Asarim, the people of Israel be enslaved by Mitzrayim. How can we punish the Mitzrayim? They all died in the Yamsuf with all the you know, these went up and these went down. You know, this is all mida keneged mida. Why? Says the Ramban, v'davavin ki aish shenichta v'nechta b'roshon al ariga, even though this person was already signed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah that he will be killed, nevertheless lo yinaka listim ahorigo. So the murderer is not in any way exempt from punishment. There's no. I'm looking for a word in English. There's no mitigating freedom of punishment here, or lightening his punishment. Why? Because even though he implemented what was already decreed in heaven, he's a Rasha. Nobody asked him to come forward and volunteer for the job of implementing God's will. So the Rabban is accepting two ends of the rope. On one end of the rope, everything is Bidei Shamayim, and then nobody's going to die unless it was decreed in Shamayim. On the other end of the rope, the person who murders that person, and he's basically bringing about the kiyum of the decree of the Gzeirah in Shamayim, nevertheless, he's totally, completely responsible for his actions. Now, if we apply that to this Tosfos, then we can say the following. All those Gemaras that Tosfos will quote that indicate that it's not Bidei Shamayim, it's Bidei Adam, were those Gemaras that are telling you that you are held liable and responsible for your lack of security, for your exposing yourself to danger. But it's always Bidei Shamayim. Everything is Bidei Shamayim. That would be the Ramban's view against the view of Tosfos. Whereas Tosfos wants to split human activity and human behavior or experience into two different categories. There are those experiences where man is responsible, has nothing to do with Shamayim, don't blame God, has nothing to do with Shamayim. And then there are other areas where it's totally Bidei Shamayim because you have no control. The Ramban would argue that everything is Bidei Shamayim. But you have freedom of choice to stand up to the, you know, to this, you know, there's an anonymous, faceless person who's going to be the Shliach HaKel, and now you decide you're going to step into that shoes and you're going to play. That's your decision, and you're responsible for that. So that when the Gemara says that a person who exposes himself to danger is going to be punished for that, he is responsible for that. For sure he's responsible. But don't take that out of the realm of Bidei Shamayim. Because it's impossible for him in that sakana situation to die unless on Rosh Hashanah it was already decreed that he would die. So when the Gemara says "Asa liyodam lama b'makom sakana," that's absolutely true. Because even though it was decreed that you would die, you had no right to put yourself into your action. Is abhorrent, is asa according to the Torah. "Asa liyodam lama netzatzmo b'sakana." And at the end of this presentation, he quotes Rabbeinu Bachai in the Sefer Chovas HaLevavos, and he writes the following: V'chein ein roi liyodam lahachnis likones b'sakonos b'bitchono, because he's going to rely on the Gzeiros HaBorei. He's going to say, you know what? God is going to protect me. Either I'm going to die or I'm not going to die. So what difference does it make if I go in sakon? You imagine he starts skiing off a cliff. And he has no clue. Yeah, it's the first time he's going skiing in his life. So he's going to say, well, look, you know what? Either I'm going to die or I'm not going to die. So he rappels off a mountain. You know, either I'm going to die. It's all Bidei Shamayim anyway. So what difference does it make? Oh, says the Chovas HaLevavos, it makes a big difference. Ein roi liyodam lahachnis likaneis v'sakonos. He cannot rely on the Gzeiros HaBorei. Sheyamus, that God will declare whether he's going to die or whether he's going to live. He's considered mamis as atzmo, it's as if he killed himself. U nitvalze kilu hamis, and if he does so, it's as if he murdered himself. The afal pisha moso al aderech hahi b'gzeres alakim b'rshuso, even though it must be part of a divine plan, and if there's death, it means it was decreed in Shamayim. Nevertheless, kvar his harnu, or his hirno, shalola hamis shum adam. We are not allowed to be the agents of that ritzicha to kill someone, even though the person was obviously meant to die. You don't have the right to step up and be the agent to bring about his death. And you're going to be held responsible for that, even if it means a capital crime. You're going to be responsible for such a crime.
That's why the mitzvahim were responsible, because they chose to...
Because they chose to volunteer for this great action of killing the firstborn babes and of subjugating and enslaving the Jewish people. They will be punished for that. But you have to know, says the Ramban, the victim is not guiltless. The victim is guilty in the sense that it was decreed up in Shamayim from Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, in the case of Mamis Atzmo, like the case of Mamis Acherim, what gave him the ability to kill himself when his life is in the hands of God? It's Bidei Shamayim. There must have been a decree. Again, that doesn't in any way mitigate his level of responsibility as a criminal, as a rotzeach. But nevertheless, you have to know, says the Ramban, it's all Bidei Shamayim. So when the Gemara says in the name of this price, Akol Bidei Shamayim, it means literally Akol Bidei Shamayim. The only problem is, how's the Ramban going to explain the following words in the Braisa? Chutz mitzinu pachin. What do you mean? Tzinu pachin is also Bidei Shamayim. Because if as a result of his pshia, he gets ill, or whatever happens to him as a result of tzinu pachin, it's all part of a divine plan. And the Gemara quotes Shlomo HaMel from Mishlei, that Shomer Nafsho Yirchak Mehem, which sounds like Tosis' Shita, that he is in charge One way or the other of being struck by tzidin upachim. It's in his control, and it's outside the realm of bidei shamayim. It's not a kol bidei shamayim. According to Ramban, what's the difference between tzidin upachim and any other experience? No matter what it is, even a kir notui or a makom sakonim, it's always going to be bidei shamayim. Although again, you're responsible and you're held liable for what you did. You're guilty of a crime by not avoiding this sakana. But the sakana was written up in Shamayim. It's part of the divine decree of Rosh Hashanah, signed and sealed. And the same thing is going to be true in the case of Tzinin Upachim. So what I fail to understand here is the way it's being presented here in the name of the Ramban. What is the chutz mitzinin upachin? Is there some sort of xeris akosim which we derive from Mishlei that tzinin upachin is outside the realm of bidei shamayim? That's a pella. That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, leaving this sugya as a very deep philosophical question, can a person be in control of his own destiny and there's no bidei shamayim? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that room to control our own lives and our own destiny, that we can bring about catastrophe upon ourselves, even if it's not written up in the divine decree? It has nothing to do with bidei shamayim. And that's what Tosa seems to assume by whittling down HaKol Bidei Shamayim to those things which are beyond human control. But Tzidin Upachin, according to Tosa, are paradigms of all those areas of human behavior which are Bidei Adam, literally Bidei Adam, because man is in control. He can protect himself, and he has to protect himself. It says, what does it say in the Pasuk? What does it say? Ushmartem miyod l'nafshel seichem, right? Ushmartem miyod l'nafshel seichem. And that's your responsibility. But at the end of the day, if you fail to live up to that responsibility, you brought the ason upon yourself. And that's bidei adam. Tosfos says the whole discussion of Rice about HaKol Bidei Shamayim is only referring to areas which are anus, where it's beyond your control. And Tosfos' proof is that a person can kill himself. If he kills himself, he didn't deserve to die. It wasn't written in the decree. He's just exercising his freedom of choice, even though he's totally innocent. And if you can even kill someone who's totally innocent. But that's not the Ramban's approach. Ramban says no such thing as killing someone who's innocent. It's all written in the decree. It's all bidei shamayim. But I just don't know, according to Ramban, what does it mean, chutz mitzinin upachin? What happens in the case of tzinin upachin? It seems to be typical of any kind of situation where you could have avoided it, and you're responsible for not avoiding it, but it was written in the books. Everything is written in the divine books. Now, there's another line in Tosis which should call our attention. Tosis says, and we read it again, we read it before, but let's read it again. Avol tzinin upachin li'olam al yavo olav bi'ones imrotza lihizoher. It sounds like Tosfos understood that Tzinin Upachin is totally Bidei Adam. There's no element of Bidei Shamayim because it's in your control. Either you protect yourself from Tzinin Upachin or you don't. But there's no element of Ones. Again, Tosfos identifies Bidei Shamayim as an Ones element. Something that's beyond your control. You couldn't have done anything. Stand on your head, it won't help. Tzarech Iyun, he says. I don't get it. The only area of human responsibility is tzinin upachin. Otu milo mishkacha shenisraf beiso begadu bimosakar tibachai gavna boim ola bionis. Oh, I'm sorry. I said it the wrong way. Let me go back. Tosfos is saying that in tzinin upachin, there's no possibility of bidei shamayim. That's always a result of your pshia. Well, he says the fight. Tzarech Iyun. Let me read this again. I understood it before. Otu milo mishkacha shenisra beisugav bimosakar v'chai gavna boim olav biones tzinin upachin. In other words, again, what he's saying is that Tinu pachli olam al yavo olav bi'ones hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinin upach. In every other case is bidei shamayim tzorich iyun toch as sugi mamasu dachil beitzinin pachli shal dvarim bofen. Just 1 second. Salav dafka mitzinin pachli kol choli shenigra machmas pshiyas ha'adam Nechshav tzinin upachus. We see through the parts of tzinin pachin the olam lo be ones. We see the terms of the olam lo yivo lo be ones in rotsu yizor. Sorry, because I feel shomer atzma karoy yochol lachma. In other words, in all other cases, he would have control. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he's asking here. Maybe I'll come back to this a little later because I don't want to. Okay. Let's go back to the paragraph that starts on the top of the page, Kuf Aleph, top right. Yeah. So the Gemara goes back and forth, Rav Ada bar Ava and Abaye, to try to understand what Yaakov Avinu was concerned about. And in the Havmini, the Gemara thought that, and this was Rav Ada bar Ava, that Yaakov Avinu was only concerned about Bidei Adam. That, in other words, I'm sorry, I think I got that right. Okay. Yesh Levayr HaShakal V'Tari. Now here he has a Chsam Sofer, that's the first paragraph, and then he has a Mitzvah Eson. So I'm not sure I understand the Mitzvah Eson, but I think I understand the Chsam Sofer. Yesh Levayr HaShakal V'Tari Yashabein HaMakshon Latartzon. So this is the Chsam Sofer. Da Makshon Sfirale Mi V'Tola Yaakov HaChashash V'Echov Meis V'Achiv Meis. So that's what it says in the Pasuk. Okay. Let's just read it one more time. The Pasuk says, Vayomer lo yered b'ni machem ki achiv meis. Alma shechashash shelo yomus ki Yosef. The type of ason that Yaakov was concerned about is indicated by his the additional two words, v'achiv mes. V'achiv mes not just only means I lost his son, I lost his older brother, but it also means the way he was taken. Hare Yosef al-yidei arye uganve mes l'fi daito. Right, the way that Yaakov Avinu had proclaimed it when they brought him the Ksonis was Tarov Taraf Yosef. So that's a case of Aryeh. And therefore, the Gemara thinks in the Havamina that Yaakov's concern was about Aryeh. Mm-hmm. That just like Yosef, his older brother, died from an Aryeh, or whatever it was, Tarov Chayat, Tarov Taraf, so too Binyamin would die from the same kind of tragedy. And if that be the case, then since we said that Aryeh is called an Asan Bidei Adam, there's no proof from the word Asan that Yaakov Avinu is referring to an Asan Bidei Shamayim. Vametaretz Heshiv, She Yaakov Choshash, not only because of Yosef's death, but also Mishum Shegam Imo Mesa Baderech. He was also concerned about Rachel, the mother of Binyamin. She died by Derek.
And the mother of Yosef.
Of Ahavi Lei, Chazoka Shal Trei Zimni, Sha'imo V'Achiv Mesu, both died of some sort of catastrophe. And even though in the case of Yosef, the catastrophe was Bidei Adam, in the case of Imo Rachel, there, it was a catastrophe v'day shamayim.
But they were both baderech.
Oh, exactly. They were both baderech. So since they were both baderech, they could form a chazaka made of two. And in the case of Rachel, we have a misa v'day shamayim. In the case of Yosef, we have a misa v'day adam. But it means that the word ason, which Yaakov Avinu is concerned about, includes both the type of death that Rachel had died and the type of death that Yosef had died, according to Yaakov's belief. That means both bidei Adam and bidei Shammai. I thought that was a very brilliant chap over here. The only thing that bothers me about this approach of the Chasam Sofer is that in Yaakov's words, there's no indication that he was worried about Rachel. You follow what I mean about Binyamin's sakana because of the death of his mother Rachel. That's something that we're adding to the, you know, to the official what's called the line, you know, the storyline. In the storyline, it says that the achiv meis. It doesn't say imo meisa in the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. It says ki achiv meis. Maybe he wasn't worried about Rachel because Rachel's death was the death of a pregnant woman who was giving birth. Am I right?
Yeah.
Didn't Rachel die at childbirth?
Right.
I don't know if that has any implication as far as Binyamin is concerned. But anyway, that's the Chasam Sofer's theory, that the Chazaka here that Yaakov is worried about includes the death of Rachel, which is categorically a death of Bidei Shomayim. And therefore the word Ason, and that's the Maskaras HaSugi Vabaye, includes also Bidei Shomayim. Now in the next paragraph he presents the Mitzvah Eson. Let's see if we can work this out together. You ready for this?
Ready.
Okay. So be a chavrusa. He says, "Od yesh levayer da makshe somich al hamikra beparshas miketz the Yaakov Omar lebonov osi shikaltem." So wait a minute. So what we've been doing until now is we've been studying Brachos Perek Mem Beis pasuk lamid ches. Now we're turning the clock back a few psukim to Pasuk Lamed Vav, and Yaakov turns to his children, and this is when he received, you know, when he refused their first I'm missing my English here, the first approach, but the request, yeah, no, this is a word I'm looking for. It doesn't matter, that's just my problem. Anyway, so Yaakov, overture, that was the word I wanted to use. Yeah, that Yaakov rejects the first overture, and he says to his children, Osi shikaltem, Yosef einenu, v'shimon einenu, v'espinyamin tikhu, olai hayu kulana. And this could be understood, says the Mitzvah Eisan, in the light of the famous principle of Chazok, as established by the Gemara Chulin, that Chazok is b'tlasa mzimni. So basically, what we have over here is sort of like, if Chas V'Shalom something happens to Binyamin, what we end up with is like stimas hagolel, if you follow me. You're really burying the hatchet on the house of Jacob, because now there's a chazaka that three times over, the house of Jacob is suffering calamity. Number one, in the case of Yosef. Number two, in the case of Shimon. And now Chas V'Shalom in the case of Binyamin. Is alai hayu kulana. Kulana means like the whole house of Jacob is going to just simply collapse like a set of cards that is stacked up one on top of the other. U'kamosh akos of Rashi dirasli Yosef she'en l'cha tzara she'en overis alai. Like there'll be no tzara that I can be saved from, because after this chazaka, oh. So now if you take a look at it, we have now the death of Yosef and the death of Shimon. So he says the following. Muchach shachashash al Yaakov hayirak al Aryeh v'ganve. This would support the kasha of Rav Adbar Ava. We're talking about bidei Adam, dumya de Yosef v'Shimon. Because Yosef was a case of Aryeh, which we call bidei Adam. And Shimon was taken away by the viceroy of Egypt. That's certainly Bidei Adam. So how could it be that Binyamin's death, if Chas Shomi would die, would be mashlim the chazaka of Tlasa Zimni, unless we assume that the Ason that Yaakov had in mind here was the Ason Bidei Adam. And now we have a pattern that repeats itself, and of an Ason Bidei Adam that impacts on the house of Jacob. Aval Ason Bidei Shemayim Re'lo Huxa Klal. That's not a chazaka. So in terms of chazaka, what we're saying is that there's a fundamental difference between mishaps or catastrophes that were result of Bidei Adam and those of Bidei Shamayim. And there's no crisscross, there's no overlap. You can't establish chazaka from one to the other. So that the chazaka apparently that Yaakov Yidu was concerned about, that Elia Hayu Kulana, that Ein L'chatzor Shein Overis, Elias Rashi says, that would have been also a Bidei Adam. Hence we understand Rav Ada Barav. What I don't see here is an explanation for the Maskonas Hasugya. Again, according to the Chasam Sofer, we have a great explanation for the Maskonas Hasugya, and that is the fact that Yaakov was worried about Rachel's death, which was Bidei Shamayim. Hence Ason includes Bidei Shamayim. But according to the Mitzvah Eson, how do we actually convince ourselves that the word Ason means Bidei Shamayim if we've already set up this Chazaka? So I have a suspicion that what the Mitzvah Eson wants to tell us is that when you're dealing with Chazaka of catastrophe, of Tzara, you don't even break it down into its component parts. We're not interested in whether or not, you know, you have an Av and a Tolda, right? We're not interested in how much similarity there is between the Tolda and the Av. You know, it's got to be exactly like the Av, it's got to be Bidei Adam. No! Yaakov Avinu is worried about a chazaka that's established by three calamities. And even if those calamities are radically different one from the other, nevertheless it could create a chazaka on Mishpachas Yaakov Avinu. Now let me give one more shot at this paragraph on the left side, because I did understand it when I read it not that long ago. So what goes on? Yosef Avol Tzinen Upachim Li Olam Al Yavou All of the Ones Im Rotze Lihizahir. Correct? Avol Tzinen Upachim is that's not Bidei Shamayim. So again, when we're in Rav Ada Barav and he says that Tzinen Upachim. Tzinen Upachim is what is always going to be outside the parameters of Bidei Shamayim, because there's no element of onus. And on the contrary, if he would have been careful about it, he would not suffer from Tzinen Upachim. That's what Tosfos is saying over here. That Tzinen Upachim is not Bidei Adam. It's not Gzeirah Min HaShamayim, and that's exactly why he could be careful and protect himself against Tzinen Upachin. Now he says the following: Otu lo mishkachas shen misraf beso no sakor b'chai gavna boin olav pa'ones. Meaning that what the Tosfos is saying, that Tzinen Upachim is the Olam Lo Yavo Olam Bi'ones, but everything else, it's possible to have it Bi'ones, it's possible to have it Bidei Shamayim. So what's he saying in this Raf Beso? Misraf Beso, according to Tosfos, let's say Nisraf Beso is not going to be Bi'ones. The only case Tosfos says, again, Tosfos is saying that Tzinen Upachim don't have an element of onus to them.
You have some control.
So what does he want here from Nisraf Beso? Not sure.
And why does he say he most akor?
No, he's trying to give a case of onus. So imagine it's the cold winter, and all of a sudden, you know, a heat wave, you know, a brush fire, you know, destroys his house. That's not something that you right. And that's something but onus. But what Tosis is not denying that there are cases of onsim. He's just saying that hakol bidei shamayim, which means onus. And chutz mitzinu pachim, because tzinu pachim will always come about as a result of some negligence. It doesn't mean that Tosis doesn't understand. I mean, obviously Tosis understands that there are many situations which are beyond your control, and therefore it's hakol bidei shamayim. So what's he asking? Maybe just one second. Yesham the tzinu pachim yichol lov al odom. Gamba onus. Oh, I see what he's saying. Wait, I think I have a flash of light. Let's see if there's light. I think I see a light at the end of the tunnel here. What he's saying about tzinu pachim is that tzinu pachim is always a result of negligence. Oh, that's not so. You can have a tzinu pachim which was totally unpredictable. Right, because pachin means a heat wave, right? And as a result of this heat wave, his house went on fire. So that's also onus. So why does Tosfos say I will tzinin upachli olam al yavol bi onus im rotza lizoyer, that 100% of the cases of tzinin upachin are avoidable? That's not true. There could be an unforeseen tzinin upachin situation. That's his kasha. Now he quotes in the next paragraph the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, who says that Rov Chaloyim Boim Machmas Pshias HaOdom Al Yidei Macholim Roim V'Rivui Machol V'Shio Mishkal. There's a person overindulges; he eats when he doesn't have to eat, and that's going to bring him choli, and that's called Pshias HaOdom. We may high time a cause of a rush. Yivomis ayin hey b'shem Rashi de patzua daka al yidei choli nechshav ki b'yidei odom. That here also he could have somehow avoided this situation of patzua daka. Or the Rambam disagrees with the Rosh and he holds that patzua daka al yidei choli nechshav ki b'yidei shamayim mishum de b'inon maisa b'ever dumi de manzer al yidei maisa bo. So in other words, according to the Rambam,
you had some role to play.
Yes, it's considered bidei. No, according to the Rosh, for sure you had a role to play, and your negligence caused this terrible Ptsuadaka situation. The Rambam classifies Ptsuadaka as bidei shamayim. The Ptsuadaka vicholi al yidei shamayim. Hainu bishum de beinon maisa be'ever dumya de mamzer al yidei maisa bo.
So then it is you did it to yourself.
According to the Rambam or according to the Rosh? I'm lost. When you say you did it to yourself, I think that
who is that? Is that the Rosh or the Rambam?
The Rosh is pointing a finger of hashama of guilt. Okay. An accusation at the Ptsua Daka.
Ah, the Ptsua Daka is the Rush.
Right.
Ah.
Meaning the Rush seems to assume that even though, you know, a Ptsua Daka situation is a disease, but nevertheless you, the Ptsua Daka himself brought about through his situation, which he should have avoided, he brought about that disease. Right. And that disease ended up in this person's becoming a Ptsua Daka. So again, even though Ptsua Daka is a disease, it's a choli, it's considered, according to the Rosh, bidei Adam, because man could have avoided that choli. And even though the Rambam disagrees with the Rosh, and he holds that a Ptsua Daka is considered bidei Adam, that's because the Rambam requires a Maisa Ba'ever. In other words, it's not just a Machla, but somebody actually dissected his aver, and as a result of that cut, he became a Ptsua Daka. And therefore, the situation of Ptsua Daka, according to the Rambam, is totally bidei shamayim. It's not just a matter of a machla. So whereas the Rosh is of the opinion that this machla came about like Tzinu Pachin through his negligence, and that makes it into bidei Adam, the Rama would classify Petzua Daka as bidei shamayim because he doesn't believe that the situation is a result of a machla, but rather it's a result of some sort of an injury. And that injury was deliberately brought about, or again, I'm not sure. But anyway, that situation of an injury was brought about bidei Adam. It wasn't something that happened in nature as a result of a machla. Ulashitas Rambam, that's the bottom paragraph, Tzarech Lomar, the lav daka noket bebraisa chutz mitzinen upachin. Again, if tzinen upachin is your example of bidei Adam, just 1 second. Right. So Tosis says that Tzinin Pachim li olam al yavo bi ones, and it's got to be bidei Adam, meaning that he brought about the situation of Tzinin Pachim. So too the Rambam would say that Petzua Daka is not something that you just got, you never if you took ill, you know, no guilt of your own, but you took ill. Like a person who's suffering from Rachman al-Tan cancer. It's not necessarily because he exposed himself to asbestos or something like that. No, it's an illness. That's bidei shamayim. And the Rambam says that although, according to the Rosh, the situation of Petzua Daka is considered bidei shamayim. Just 1 second. Petzua Daka yidei choli. Oh, so just 1 second. Let me get the shitas lined up over here. According to the Rambam, Sfilei Petzua Daka yidei choli nechshav kibei odom. But I don't know, you see this line that says Hainu Mishum Devin and Maisa Be'ever? Is that referring to the Rambam, or maybe it's going back on the Rosh? Just 1 second. The Rosh was the one who identified Psua Daka as Bidei Adam.
I thought it was on the Rambam.
Yeah, it does seem like it's flowing on the Rambam, but let's see. So the Rambam says that it's Ayidei Choli and it's considered Bidei Shamayim. So what does it mean, Hainu Be'in and Maisa Be'ever? I don't know what he means by Maisa Be'ever. Maisa Be'ever is a classic kind of bidei Adam.
Right. Something that you chose to do and that led to this.
So I don't know, that doesn't seem to fit into the Rambam's perspective that it's bidei Shamayim. Just 1 second. Maybe the Rambam holds that there are two types of Petzua Daka. One is as a result of machla, and the other is be'inan maisa be'ever. To me, the mamzer, so he did something, and he caused undue pressure on his privates there, and as a result, he became a p'tzua daka. So the Rambam, it seems to point a finger of accusation here. So how is the Rambam therefore different than the Rosh? I mean, the Rosh is also pointing a finger of accusation.
It seems like the Rambam has a general statement about all sorts of rova chalayim ba'im machmat shiata adam, and he lists them, but he makes an exception of Psua Daka because Psua Daka has something to do with maisa be'ever.
Yeah, but I don't understand. If Psua Daka is a result of maisa be'ever, then wouldn't that fit into the Rambam's pattern of machmas pshias ha'adam? If you would tell me it's a machla, and then some, you know, Nebuchadnezzar gets sick with a machla, that's bidei shamayim, that's a hakol bidei. But if you're talking about maisa, I don't understand that phrase, maisa be'ever. In the footnote, he quotes the Tvur Shar and Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we could start researching that, but I'm not sure. Let's see, he brings a mocker to the Rambam from Yerushalmi and Shabbos. Sadi tes mesim bi ayin, vi echad bi yidei shamayin. Ayin means ayin hara, right? And Rav Chia, Rav Chanina, and Shmuel Amin, tzadi tes mesim bi tzina, v'echad v'idei shamayim. Okay, fine. Echad v'idei shamayim. Shimon Nachman says meisim b'shrav v'echad v'idei shamayim. Rabbanan Amitish meisim b'pshir v'echad v'idei shamayim. Divya Ramam heim kirabbanan. That most deaths are caused by pshir. It's like you said before, it seems that psuadaka might be, in the Rambam's frame, reference an exception to the rule. Oh, so now we just finished saying that according to Tosfos, Sinu Pachanir is being singled out because it's always bidei adam, which means that Sinu Pachanir by definition is a result of pshir, and he could have been careful about it and he could have missed it. And that's what the price it means by chutzpid. So that's tzinim pachin. So now, according to the Rambam, tzinim pachin is really an avtipus. It's paradigmic of 99% of the chaloyim that do us under. It's all because of our pshia. That's what the Rabbanan say in the Yerushalmi, tishim v'teisha meisim v'pshia.
Yeah.
It's tzarech lomar, according to the Rambam, the lav dafkanok v'braisa chutzvi tzinim pachin el kol choli shenigra machmas pshia sa'odom nechshav kitzinin upachin. So it means that in most cases it's a result of pshia. Tosis, on the other, it seems to isolate and single out tzinin upachin. Those are the cases of pshia, but as a universal rule, it's not a result of pshia. It's bidei shamayim. So the Rambam is not like Tosfos. Where does the majority fit and where does the minority fit? According to the Shitas HaTosfos, it seems that almost everything is Bidei Shamayim. The only time you have control is something like Tzinin Upachin. Again, we have a problem with that because we spoke about Kir Notuy in Tosfos. That's also Bidei Adam. But on the other hand, you know, you could have a situation of Kir Notuy, which was Be'ones. You know, maybe you didn't know about the kir notui, or maybe you had no other way of getting out of a trap except by going through a kir notui. So kir notui, although it's generally a result of his pshia, and he certainly shouldn't have exposed himself to that, but nevertheless there could be a metzius of kir notui that's bidei shamayim. But tzinin upachin is always bidei adam, because man could have protected himself of tzinin upachin. On that we had a question, it could be an unforeseeable tzinin upachin, and that would also fit under the category of bidei shamayim.
Yeah, but it's what shchiach, what's not shchiach. Kir natui is not shchiach. Tzinin upachin is everyday occurrences. You have to be on the guard for those. You can't be on the guard for a wall that might fall.
Right, but again, the language of Tosfos, li'olam lo yavo ol of the onus. I mean, that's a little bit strange of a language, is it not?
Yes.
You know, Tosfos sort of overstepped his bounds. He expressed himself in a very extreme way. If you take Tosfos for his, you know, on the, you know, for his word, if you take it on the Ein Mikra Yotzim De Pshuto, it says here that it's li'olam al yavo ol of Ella, right, the onus. Ella imrotza lizayir yizayir. I mean, that's how I'm reading the Tosfos. I don't know, maybe there's another way of reading the Tosfos. But liolam al yavo al bionis, that's not really so. You can have tzinin upachin bionis as well. That's what he demonstrates here. But what you do see from Tosfos' framework is that tzinin upachin is a very unique kind of category. And in most cases, when a person unfortunately faces calamity, it's a result of bidei shamayim. It's all in the hands of God. The Rambam, on the other hand, blames man for almost every ailment and every disease that he suffers from. And therefore, from the Rambam's perspective, tzinin upachin is simply an example of a machla, which is caused by pshia. And most of what man suffers from it fits that category. These are paradigmic cases, tzinin upachin, of choli sheba begroma machmas pshia sa'odom. The lo sphir lekatosfos at the end of this paragraph. The tzinin upachin liolam lo yovolo bionis imrotzi zoshrei kosav afilu shomer atzmo karoy yochol lachlos. So it means that even someone who protects himself well against tzinin upachin might suffer bidei shamayim tzinin upachin, and that's really, in a sense, that is typical of all machlos, that all machlos basically lend themselves to protection. But Sidin Upachin, even if he protects himself, nevertheless he may get sick, he may fall into bed because the result of Sidin Upachin. That's true in other machlis as well. He took all the care that he could have possibly taken, but yet he fell ill as a result of Bidei Shamai. Okay. Now the Gemara says that Arayos is a case of Bidei Adam. So the Gemara asks, that's not really so. Even Arayos with an Aleph, right, is Bidei Shamayim. V'omer Rav Yosef, it's on the bottom of Daf Lamed Omen Aleph. Tani Rav Chiya, V'chein Tani, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Afel Pishim Batlu Sanhedrin, is Arba Misos Lo Batlu. So Hashem is going to set up a Misa to replace the Misa's Bezdin, which we don't have now because it's after the Khruv, we don't have a Sanhedrin.
It won't be Shluchim Bezdin anymore.
Right. Now what is the Misa, what is the Misa Bidei Shamayim of Arayos, of lions? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says that's a replacement for the Misa of Chenek, if I'm not mistaken. Let's just see if I get it. Mishan Eskayev Skila, fine. Oh, Skila, I'm sorry. I said Chenek, I meant Skila. Then in the case of Skila, he has two choices. Either he'll fall off a high roof, or he'll get attacked by an Aryeh that's going to throw him down, and that throwing him down is already Skila. Maybe he's dead already even before the Aryeh eats him up. I don't know. But in any event, this proves that Aryeh is Bidei Shamayim. So if you take a look at number Kuf Dalet, that paragraph which is on page Kuf Chav Gimel, he says, "Afal pisha batlu Sanhedrin, mashma shedafka b'makom shemhoya beis hamikdash kaim hoya chayav misas bezdin." Then lo batl din dalet misos. So, for example, let's say if the beis hamikdash was standing and there was a Sanhedrin to judge a capital crime, but they would not be able to put him to death. For example, Kagon be Edim Ubasra. Now, I'm sorry. So if there were Edim and Asra, they would be able to put him to death. And
below Asra.
Right. Yeah. And then in a situation of post-Khurban, then to replace the Bezdin, right, the let's say the Bezdin Chof Gimel that would have put him to death, comes these deaths. So it's, we're addressing exclusively cases where there were Edim and Asra. However, what happens if there was no Asra? Then there won't be Mises Bezdin, or I should say Misa Bidei Shamayim to replace the Mises Bezdin, because Misa Bidei Shamayim is only being implemented as, you know, the Hashamayim, so to speak, is stepping into the shoes of the Bezdin.
Yeah.
But in the case where there was no Hasra, then even the Bezdin themselves would not have put him to death. So therefore there's no replacement for Bezdin Bidei Shamayim. And this he quotes in the name of the Machzor Vitri. And the Machzor Vitri is quoted by Rav Yerucham Fischel, who writes a super commentary on Rav Sajagon. He was a tremendous Baki. So he knew about this Machzor Vitri. Now the Machzor Vitri is apparently a Talmud of Rashi. Lefi Zeh says, "Miyushevas kushes atosus kan v'dimaskel din dohachazin and kamav haryonim v'ovdei akum shemesim al mitosam." He says the following: why is it, this was Tosa's problem, that we see so many criminals that deserve one of these four kinds of deaths, and yet they die in their sleep?
And that's sort of an unexplained how that
could happen, that they die in their sleep. They should be dying the way they would die at the time of Sanhedrin, you know, through this kind of Misa, that kind of Misa, all the replacements Misa. The answer is, I didn't know Lekasra.
That's why they die that way.
Correct. That's the answer that we get to Tosis Kasha, based on the Machzor Vitri. If not for the Machzor Vitri, we're stuck with Tosis Kasha. How do all these Avaryanim who violate Chiyuve Skila, for example, they die in their bed?
Yeah.
Why are they dying in their bed? They should be falling off a high roof, or they should be attacked by a lion. And the answer is because it's only a replacement for Beis Din in a scenario where Beis Din would actually put him to death. But they violated these averas in a way that Beis Din, even had there been a Beis Din, they couldn't have put him to death. The Ulam, he says, although that is the shita of the Maaser Vitri, he says, if you look in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin, when the Gemara quotes this exact statement of Din Arba Mises Lo Batlu in the case of Shimon ben Sheta, who saw the man running into the house and killing someone. Again, he didn't actually, Tosa says, I think he was one aide, or anyway, they couldn't put him to death. And then he was bitten by a Nachash. And now if you talk about bitten by a Nachash, so that's a substitute for Srefa. And the Gemara uses that case as an example of someone who was Chayav Srefa, and instead he was bitten by a Nachash. Now the question is, but there was no testimony. So even had there been a Beis Din, they couldn't have put him to death. So therefore it would seem from the Gemara in Sanhedrin clearly that this halacha of Din Arba Mises Lo Batlu applies even when the Beis Din, had they been around as a viable enterprise, would not be able to put him to death. And therefore he writes in the last paragraph, Nira de v'chayve mises Beis Din de ksivu kares b'mezid b'lo asro haynu de nidon nami b'kares aval kol parmen nidon nami b'din dalet misos. Okay, so wait a second, we skipped a little bit. He says, V'hasam u'umad havi, that's called umdana. The Gemara Shin Bet Shetach is the classic case of umdana, which means that circumstantial evidence indicates that you were the murderer, and he wasn't chayav mises Beis Din. And Tosus writes that even if there were no edim and asra, there's still a din of dalet misos, which means that Shomayim are going to implement his death in a way that's appropriate for the death, that he should be chayav in a Beis Din, even though had there been a Beis Din, he wouldn't have been chayav, because we're lacking edim asra. Ulefizan nira de bechayve mises Beis Din dechsiv bahu kares b'mezid below asra. So let's say a person was guilty of a chayve mises Beis Din, but unfortunately it was no asra. He did it b'mezid. So he's going to get kares for that. The kares is going to substitute for the chiv mises Beis Din. Hainu de nido nami b'kares aval kolponim nido nami b'din dalet misos. Now, we shouldn't interpret that in such a case he's going to die, let's say, before the age of 50. No, he's going to die in a specific way, and that way will be a measure for measure fitting the crime because of nidon b'dalet misos. V'hainu ma'idi amrina b'sugyan de'ikor ben rova labai misa b'dei shamayim de'la rova eina poteres mitashlumin de'kevon. The cave of the Hutzucha Torah, the Ravos, the Koris, the Molech, the Potem, the Tashlum, Shmamino, the Misa Vide Shemaim, Eno Poteres. Misa Vide Shemaim means he'll die before the age of 60. That's not as serious of a punishment, as severe a punishment as Koris, and therefore that would not be enough to knock off a Chiv Tashlum moment. Shim Lokain, typically, the Poter, the Molech, Mishum Din, Dalit Mises, the Ispe. So it must be that in the case of a Chiv Kares, what we're going to happen is that the Chiv Kares is in addition to the din of Dalet Misos. And what the Gemara is saying, therefore, is that the difference between Abai v'Rava is a case of Misa Bidei Shamayim, that according to Rava, that's not going to be the same severity as a replacement for Kares. And even though he might get a din Misa Bidei Shamayim, but nevertheless, that's not enough to pater him from Tashlumin. We need a Kares, because Kares is a more severe punishment. Kevan Shehutzva Torah L'Rabos B'Kares the Moloch the Potem in Tashlumin Shmamino the Misa V'Dei Shemayim Eino Poteres. So even though he's going to get Misa V'Dei Shemayim, and that for sure he's going to get because of the Dalet Misa's Beis Din Lo Batlu, but nevertheless, that's not that doesn't measure up to Kares, because we're saying that there's both Kares and Dalet Mises Beis Din. Here, in this case where he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim, let's say, for example, Zar Shachal Truma, but he doesn't have a Chiyuv of Kares, therefore, according to Rava, he's not going to be potter from tashlum. So the din of dalet mises bezin is not enough to potter from tashlum. We need a din of kares, and in this case of zahar she'achal truma, there's no chiyuv kares. Okay, then we'll stop here, and I think we accomplished a great deal, and hopefully we'll continue tomorrow.